At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the IngestWorks podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and Merry Christmas. I'm recording this on Christmas Day at 10 a.m. Really excited to be recording the podcast with you guys and checking in. Seeing how everyone's doing, I hope you're all having a wonderful day with your families. As you might be hearing this later on, I hope you did. And I'm just really excited to kind of wrap up the year. We have two more podcasts left and then we're done. Pretty crazy to think about. It's been a great year. A lot of new guests, a lot of new people listening and supporting the show. So I really appreciate everyone with that. Let's kind of jump into it. This week's been pretty good. A lot of great feedback from the music podcast with Eric. So I appreciate everyone checking that out. And a lot of people liked the Dante intro and then thought the outro was perfect. So I really appreciate the feedback because it's really fun to do that kind of stuff and change it up every now and then. But yeah, it's been a good week. Really busy with work. We had a Christmas party. So most of the people in the area got together. We did a White Elephant, had some food, some drinks. It was really nice. Everyone had a really good time. And it was really nice to just kind of give back and show appreciation for all their hard work. It's crazy to think that, you know, it's only two more weeks left in the year and one more week. And that's it, you know. So it's been a crazy, crazy holiday season, but it's been fun and obviously very eventful. So I'm very grateful for that. Yesterday we celebrated Christmas Eve and we always do. So Christmas Eve is where we kind of really celebrate the most for our immediate family. And it was just great. Everyone was having a great time. The kids were running around, screaming, laughing, just playing together. And the food was amazing. Food was amazing. We had like my dad made like a ribeye roast and he baked it in the oven and then obviously cut them into steaks. And it was delicious. Basically, it was like very close to a prime rib. A lot of amazing dishes to go with it. And then we had so much dessert. It was basically on the level of like a whole bakery. It was crazy. Huge shout out to my Uncle Ray. The man is just extremely generous and so thoughtful and kind. Just the amount of baked goods that he makes, you know, his cookies, his fresh made popcorn. It's just insane what this man can do. And just a huge shout out to him because that was very, very nice. And obviously the cookies are delicious. You just can't go wrong. But yeah, it was great. And then the kids were opening their gifts, of course, and it's just so cool to like see them open their gifts and scream out of just joy and excitement and just being so grateful to get something new and or just to get stuff. I mean, I remember that feeling very well. It was always a very rewarding feeling. You never know what you got, and it was so cool and just I feel like there's either two ways. You know, some kids can take it, like they're not greedy, but they're spoiled. Or they're really like humbled by it. And I always felt like I was really humbled by just the extraordinary gifts that people always got me. Cause I didn't think they always really had to do that. And then they did. And it's just amazing what people can do. So it's nice to, I was just talking about this on chat, on stream the other day. And someone said like, you know, Christmas kind of sucks as an adult. And to a degree, I understand where he's coming from. But once your family has like kids, so, you know, I have three nephews, two nieces, like when you see them open their gifts and see the excitement on their faces, it's like the same joy that you had all over again. So it's definitely rewarding. And I just couldn't be more grateful for how excited these kids are. And then we did a White Elephant amongst the adults. The White Elephant was fun. A lot of really cool gifts. And I ended up with a record player. Stole it from my brother. It's a in a briefcase looking thing. It's a very, very beautiful record player. I love how simplistic it is, which ironically enough, my parents got for the White Elephant. My mom's like, oh, I didn't know you'd like want a vinyl record, I'm like, or a vinyl player. And I'm like, well, I've been getting some records again. So yeah, it'd be cool to listen to them. Sure enough, now I got one. So that was very sweet. I love it so much. But yeah, so obviously the new year's coming and I have a lot planned for the podcast, myself and the streaming. Shout out to any of you if you've been watching the TikTok streams. Hopefully in the new year or sometime next year, I move to Kick, Twitch, and YouTube, do all four at the same time. I don't know what's going to happen there yet, but that's been really rewarding. And just the hundreds of people that have chimed in, watched, followed, it's just been something else. And it's been so fun to talk about some of our favorite video games, talk about the podcast. So I appreciate everyone checking that out. So that's definitely going to be a continued focus next year. And then I want to continue to work on myself. I'm very excited to kind of keep doing that. And I was doing really good. I was doing really good until this week. This week I've been eating so much. It's been stupid. I definitely need to go on just a binge of nothing. But that's what happens when there's a lot of good food. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to those things for the new year. Obviously my job, really excited to continue trying to be the best I can and, see where that takes me. It's been so rewarding and fulfilling to be a manager and have some of the best people you could possibly work with on your team. So that has been truly an honor and something I cherish every day. And I can't wait to continue to do that into next year. So, just a lot of really cool things. I guess I should have waited for the next year stuff on the next year podcast. but I think that episode, I'll just talk about what I'm grateful for. And we'll talk about some of the best episodes this year, right? I hope everyone's having a wonderful Christmas. I appreciate everyone for continuing that support. It's just, it's something else, seriously. Let's kind of wrap this up. It's going to be short and sweet. But let's talk about game of the year. So I haven't talked about video games and, doing my game of the year. We did music of the year. So top five singles, records, concerts. And then we also did our favorite movies. So go ahead and check out that podcast if you haven't yet or that episode. But it's been a crazy year for gaming. it's been something else. We had Baldur's Gate 3. We had Spider-Man, God of War, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Alan Wake 2. Forza, Starfield, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and honestly so many more that I can't name offhand. Super Mario Wonder, Super Mario RPG Remake, trying to think of the games that I actually bought. But there's just honestly one of the best years of gaming, following up last year, I would say. Yeah, so having said that, let's go ahead and talk about game of the year. For me, this is kind of easy, honestly, because I felt like this game should have deserved it. I feel like this game should have deserved it immediately out the gate. I was completely blown away by the sequel and how much this team was able to take what already existed and amplify it entirely. How this game runs on the console is beyond me at such a good rate that it does. The performance is great. The gameplay is flawless. All the new additions create new opportunities for you to experience the game the way you want and the way you want to play it, but also maintaining some of the traditional tropes that none of us want to leave the game. Granted, not all of it's back yet. It is. with great characters, fantastic voice acting, beautiful graphics. My game of the year is easily The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I don't think any other game comes close to this for me personally. If you have a different game of the year, please let me know. I'd love to hear it. When I played this game, I was just in awe. That's from the tutorial island, essentially, to the dungeons, to the depths, which is a really, really fun experience. I love the depths. I love the sky islands. I mean, there's literally like three worlds in this one game, and technically you can go through a sky island all the way down and skydive into the depths without the game in a loading screen. And the fact that this game runs on the Switch is just something else. I don't know how it's possible. I love the story and I love I love the way it plays out, actually. I'm pretty satisfied with it. Unfortunately, I know the ending. I haven't beaten it yet. I'm literally at Ganondorf right now. I just wasn't really well prepared, and I took like a three-month break from playing the game, so I feel like I need to really like get back on it and complete quests. They did announce that they're not doing any DLC for it, that they're actually just moving on to the next project. So knowing that, I really just want to finish my game to the fullest and then wrap up the Ganondorf fight fully powered up with a ton of weapon slots and shields and stuff. I did fight him on stream, according to someone who was watching me on stream, that I was actually doing pretty good. So I'm pretty happy to hear that. I thought the fight was amazing. So I'm really excited to kind of wrap it up there and go from there, really. I love the game so much. If you haven't played it, please, 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 please go play it. I promise it's worth your time and your money. It's one of the most fulfilling experiences I've had on a Zelda game, which is crazy because Zelda games are just some of the best games there is in existence. I can't think of any issues necessarily. The game wasn't going to run at 60 FPS no matter what. The reason why I would like it to, obviously, because I'm a frame rate whore, but also because I just think the game deserves that kind of performance, like just to really appreciate the art and everything they've done. The world is so full too. Like, they took all the feedback from Breath of the Wild and said, we got you covered. So the weapons degrade still, but there's ways that you can make your weapons last a lot longer and really utilize your fights in a different way. The horseback riding is great. You can create your own little home, but I wish they did it just a little bit better. The dungeons are back. So technically we have a dungeon for each hero, you know, for the spirits and stuff. And speaking of that, now you get, now they get to follow you. So now you get allies that can help you in combat. It's not the most perfect system, but I think the fact that you can go on this journey with the people that you help save, that you're supposed to help like fight Ganondorf together, is actually pretty satisfying too. You can toggle them off at any moment though, if you want to. So that's always a cool thing where you can have that traditional experience where you just Link doing his thing. But like I said, the combat's satisfying. The soundtrack's beautiful. I love the soundtrack. The game looks gorgeous. Just a lively world. And, cause that was like something I was curious about. They're like, oh, we're going to use Hyrule again, the way it was from Breath of the Wild, and have some additions, but they took that and ran with it. And they delivered in every way possible, in my opinion. And for that, I think Zelda definitely deserves Game of the Year. It's just something else. I am so proud of this game and so proud of the reception that people have for it. I bought the OLED Switch version. So I bought the Tears of the Kingdom of Limited Edition Switch. And it's a gorgeous console. The OLED Switch is really impressive. The battery life is pretty good on it, but the screen...
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker. Engineering your success.
In itself is incredible. I think Samsung's OLED technology is fantastic. So to just experience this game on the OLED Switch or switch it to the monitor and, you know, play it on TV, there's just a lot to be desired here. And I really can't wait to see what they do next. I really hope it's like a third game to kind of wrap up this, make it a trilogy. I really hope that's what they do. I think based off the ending, there is something that they could do, you know, like they could still like keep it going. I think at this point, I'm ready to just see Link and Zelda, like maybe live happily ever after kind of thing. I think we're actually like reaching that for once in a Zelda game, unless it's happened before and I don't remember. But yeah, that's my game of the year. Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Just absolute congrats to the whole development team. Nintendo really knocked out of the park with this game. So by my definition, next up is the worst game of the year from one of my favorite studios. It's truly a bummer that this happened. I love Bethesda. I think Todd Howard's amazing. I love his vision. I love the development team. I think that they definitely have it in them to create some of the best games out there and really change the playing field. However, Starfield is not that game. I think, in my opinion, based off games I bought, because I bought the premium edition package, whatever, for like $40. And I think Starfield is the worst game of the year for me. I felt like I was appropriately hyped for it, but I also felt like I was completely let down. I have about between 50 and 60 hours into the game. I don't like the endings. I think the endings are kind of stupid. They're not stupid. I was not ready for it. And the way I was like playing the game, I was really disappointed by the ending, to the point where like I didn't want to finish the game because I didn't like the way it played out. I didn't like that you left everything behind. It's very much a moral thing. And that's what Todd Howard was going for. You know, that's what his team was going for. So they definitely succeeded on that front and it worked. Like, it made me not want to leave, you know, Sarah behind and all these characters. And, so I think like the ending doing that to me, like, it's impressive, but it also pissed me off. But honestly, after you complete most of the quest lines, you know, obviously the factions, the game kind of just falls short hard. Like, you know, I thought the Rangers was fine, nothing too crazy, but it was still fun. I thought the UC, you know, the colonies, quest line. Oh my God, I'm forgetting their name. Anyways, the one with the Terramorphs, I felt like there could have been so much more there. And I think that should have been like the main quest line, that these aliens like love killing humans. Like, they want to eliminate humans. Like, they are only attacking human colonies. I felt like that should have been like the main thing. And it could have been a massive war against them, you know, to like wipe out their civilization. Like, you're a threat to us, we have to take you out, kind of thing. So I felt like that could have been the actual main story point, and that's not how it worked. They copied too much of their previous games. You know, the Adoring Fan was like a nice callback to Oblivion, and I was fine with that. But everything else that starts happening is like a callback to Skyrim, to Fallout, and we're literally called Starborn instead of Dragonborn, and we fucking have Starborn powers, which are almost the exact same thing as the Dragonborn powers in terms of the way you acquire them. The way you get essence to upgrade them is from killing other Starborn. So you kill other dragons, you get the dragon souls to upgrade your shouts. I do understand why Todd Howard, you know, because he's the one that, you know, does all the interviews, why they wanted us to walk on the planets that we're exploring. But the fact that they still didn't give us an option to create our own rover, just like you can customize ships, is very, very stupid, in my opinion. I just can't believe that wasn't a thing. There should just be an option. Hey, you can either like walk around and see what's out there, or you can drive around and like experience the planets and the gravity, you know, your way, because of the gravitational pull and all that, like maybe the rover floats everywhere. It's like basically turns into a flying car. I don't know. Like, there just could have been something there. I do think the space combat's fun. I will give them that. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's just a nice arcadey space flight shooter. A lot of people didn't like that you couldn't like fly to space and or land in orbit and then like land on the planet. I'm sorry, fly into orbit and then land on the planet, like No Man's Sky, so, for instance. I never really thought you were going to be able to do that, so that wasn't really something I docked them for. But I just think like my biggest thing is that this game feels so unfinished. It feels like it's lacking in content and you know, I do think a lot of the creatures are great. There's a lot of beautiful landscapes and skyboxes, you know, space boxes, if you want to call them that. I think the game is easily a 6 out of 10, but it could have been an 8 out of 10. It could have been Elder Scrolls level of success, in terms of, you know, reviews and how people feel about it. I just feel like they really dropped the ball here, and it's kind of a shame. It is such a shame. But you know what? you know, the other thing too, though, before, you know, I was going to say like, oh, you know, maybe we'll see what the DLC does. Maybe the DLC brings in like something I desire. But honestly, like even modders, there's been a couple articles that some of the biggest modders that support like Elder Scrolls and Fallout are completely abandoning modding, and they're just leaving their files for someone else to finish. So it's an ironic way, which is a comment I saw. So I'm not original by saying this, but it's funny how the person said, it's funny how the modder leaves the content for someone else to finish, just like Bethesda does for the modders. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty damn true, you know? but yeah, so that's my worst game of the year. And it's just based off like what I expected, what we were kind of told we were going to get, what I experienced through gameplay and my time spent on the game. I'm just not really impressed by it. And I think that could change down the road, but it's a single player game. It's not a live service game. So the fact that we still have to wait for maybe new future content and updates to make the game better, it's, in my opinion, unacceptable for a single player experience. But yeah, I just think the game running at 30 FPS sucks too. It just feels so clunky when you go from like playing Halo Infinite at 120 FPS to a 30 FPS space shooter. So another one. But yeah, that's Starfield. One of my fun surprises of this year that I was really happy with, because I play it every day for at least like 5 to 10 minutes, is Monster Hunter Now, created by Niantic and Capcom. So it's like Pokemon Go, but for Monster Hunter. So you hunt monsters just like you do in the games. It's more fluid combat. Like you can actually still control what you do and block and do specials and all this fun stuff and create weapons and armor. I think the game's really great. I think it's been quite the surprise, and it's been very satisfying because I love to get my Monster Hunter fix, and this game does that. However, I think the materials required to upgrade weapons and create them is just a little too egregious. It's pretty excessive. Like one of them that I'm stuck on because I can't fucking get the material is I need 12 Rathalos tails just to upgrade my sword. And it's like, what? Like, I'm pretty sure in the regular Monster Hunter games, it's like 2, maybe 3. But 12 is a little stupid. And then there's some upgrades that are like 32 of the resources. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So the game's great. It's not without its faults. Right now they have this thing called Huntathons, which are basically raids from Pokemon Go. But instead, you and a group of hunters can fight consecutive monsters to fight an exclusive monster that's in it, which is right now is the Zenogre. I don't like how they brought a new monster in, but only put them in a Huntathon. Like, I think Elder Dragons should be like that, not like regular monsters like Zenogre. So it's okay. I think there's a lot they need to work on. It does suck kind of playing the game by myself. You know, like Pokemon Go, the whole world was freaking out, so it's cool to play with other people. This game's not like that. it's popular, but I'm just saying amongst my people, my friend group, it is not. Why is my mouse not working? Oh, there it is. Anyways, it's just not working. But yeah, so those are the games that I enjoyed from this year. You'll have to excuse me. I don't know what's going on. My mouse is disappearing. That's weird. There we go. Anyways, sorry for that technical difficulty. But yeah, I'm looking forward to next year in gaming. I think next year is either going to be really slow or really good. I think for Halo Infinite, it's going to be fantastic. We have Season 6 starting in February, and then after that, it's just till Season 9, and they're done, you know, focusing main development on that game. So the turnaround for the game has been remarkable. I think Firefight is very, very fun. I can't wait to see what they do next. I can't wait to see what else they bring to the game, so that way they can spend, hopefully, like, not even until 2028, 2027, maybe, we get the next Halo game. Like, I hope they take a long time to just make it great and bring it back to its roots in terms of just, like, great storytelling, great multiplayer at one package at the go, not focusing so much on post-launch updates to, you know, make the game what it should have been. I really hope we get out of that as the gaming industry goes on. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the It Just Works podcast. I'm your host, Ryan. Merry Christmas to all of you. I appreciate you all so much, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.